Hello, this is Mark, and you are listening to the King of Queens podcast. I have coming to the show for the very first time. We have Derek. How you doing, Derek?
Doing great, man. How about you?
I'm doing all right, man. Where are you in this fine country that we live in?
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Nice.
Right in the Midwest.
I feel like Spooner would have something to say about that.
He would, I'm sure. I know he had a few things to say about Pittsburgh, so surprised Indy never got brought up.
Wait. What is the state? Is that the isn't that the Hoosier state?
It is the Hoosier state.
Yeah, remember he says that? He's like, oh, the Hoosier state.
He did. You are correct, sir.
That's so funny. All right, man. We're the stupid Big Apple. You're the Hoosier state. So
yep.
All right. That's pretty awesome. What episode are we talking about today?
Oh, was it Fat City episode 2, season 1?
Yeah. The thing is I'm terrible with the titles of the King of Queens episode. I will say, though,
they are always so creative with the titles of these names. Just the playoff words and how it reacts to the episode is perfect.
I also want to ask you, so with the King of Queens, did you watch it when it was on the air, when it was new, or did you catch it in reruns?
So I am at that age where I caught it when it was kind of on the tail end.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched the finale before I even watched the pilot.
Well, I mean, you don't have to reveal your age, but I'm 52. So, and I caught that at about the same time.
Yep. I'm not too far from it.
There you go.
And then, as soon as I watched the finale, I started it back over and couldn't even count how many times I've seen every episode now.
Yeah, like it's turned into a thing with me where I'll throw on a couple episodes before I go to bed.
It's definitely one of those comfort shows that you could always have on in the background.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I don't know if you would agree with this. I think a lot of people would probably argue with me on this particular thing, but I think it's like the last great American sitcom. I can't think of any other sitcom where you don't get political. There's no like agenda. There's nothing trying to do anything. You could tell jokes that are a little bit blue, but no one's offended. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. I never even really thought of it that way, but yeah. If you think about it, after that ended, I mean, just trying to think of some of the shows that I watched after that.
And I'm not saying that new shows aren't well written. A lot of them are, but shows like The Middle or, I can't even think what other shows are there. That came after this, I guess like post 9/11 maybe triggered a lot of shows that
sure.
Would,
absolutely.
You know, even King of Queens was impacted by 9/11. You know, it's like they took the Twin Towers out of the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But yes.
And weren't there, there were some conspiracies about Richie with that, weren't there? Have you heard all that?
You know what? I might have heard this. Can you tell me what you've learned?
I've heard that, you know, obviously he was a firefighter right there. And it was right around that 2001 mark is when he wasn't on the show anymore. So I don't know if they kind of underlined that. But yeah, there was a lot of those conspiracy theories that he was lost at in 9/11.
Now, of course, we know the actor is fine. He's sure. Still with us. He's actually in the group that I posted in.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And you know what? I hate the fact that I always forget his name, because one of these days I'm going to like beg him to come on to this particular show.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. It would be a lot of fun, I think, for him to like maybe talk about what his favorite shows. Maybe he hates the show. I don't know. And for all I know,
he gets asked about it all the time.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. I'm just going to look him up extremely quickly. I'm on the old IMDb.
I think his name is Richie.
Let's see.
Lenucci?
Oh, no, it's Lou Ferrigno. No, I'm just kidding. no, it's something like Richie, I guess. Larry Romano.
Okay.
He was on 44 episodes. Wait, no. How's that possible?
No, that...
Is that right? 44 episodes?
That does sound like a lot.
But you know what? Do you know how many episodes there are of The King of Queens? This is going to blow your mind. This will blow your mind. There are 207 episodes. And we're only on the second one.
So you're going to be doing this for a while.
Yeah. Well, it's not my first rodeo. I do other podcasts, and I've done full runs of shows that where it's like more, even more episodes than this. So, anyway, so I bring it, I bring all my fun to the table when it comes to, King of Queens. It's always, it's been, a family favorite and definitely a quotable thing. And I really enjoy it. But yeah, you know what, let's get into our first couple clips. And, we have a cold opening, which is, they're always fun, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and check out that white Mustang in the back. Five point.
Looking at it right now.
It's pretty nice. Convertible. I just have one
very similar to that.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yep.
Tell you, Douglas, that bank is stealing my money.
For the last time, it's a service charge. Get in the car.
Thieves!
I love this. Like, he's, I would say that he's a life goal, right? Like, this is the way you want to live your life. Just,
oh, who wouldn't want to be like that in their 70s? Absolutely.
You know, like sending back deodorant, demanding your Rice-A-Roni, you know,
yep.
Going and driving around with hookers, all types of amazing things.
Eating bowls of Captain Salty in the morning.
Good old bowl of Captain Salty. Something to raise your blood pressure for the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dollar. Let it go.
All right, so this is one of these little moments where I think this comes from Kevin James' stand-up. I don't know, but I think that there's a lot of moments that come from Kevin James' stand-up.
I mean, that, who has that not happened with, though? Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guarantee you, you have been in this situation, obviously not to that extent, but I guarantee you, everybody listening has had this happen to them.
Now, this would happen more on the older cars. You know, the like my dad had this big ass Cadillac, right? And it had like the thing you had to push the thumb in. You know, remember this?
Oh, yeah.
And it would happen with that all the time. And he would just be yelling.
Can you give me a second, please?
Locked.
No, I know. You got to wait 1 sec, okay?
Try it now.
No, no, not yet. Every time.
No.
No, not yet. When you keep doing
no.
it.
No. No.
You know what?
No.
It's amazing. He's like a little dog. That's just
amazing.
Sit down on the curb. I'll come around and let you in.
He just sits there. Yeah, pretty amazing. So, of course, we're talking about the King of Queens, created by David Whitehorn and David Litt. All right. So we open up. Now, do you have like a favorite character on the show or...
No. I mean, it's hard not to say Arthur.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, yeah, I him for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he brings so much color to the entire show. And it's weird because he's really written in as a secondary character.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that everybody brings it to the table in the show. That's why when there's someone on the show that is kind of like, you know, maybe they're not great. Like, maybe they're like, they really stand out. And I am going to point out a couple people, like the woman at the DMV when I didn't think her jokes landed very well. Little things like that. But there are people who I think are just comfortable on the show. And I think it's most of the cast. They just seem really great. Leah Remini, I think, is really a really hilarious straight woman. But she knows how to tell a joke.
Sure.
There's no doubt about that.
What now?
I got my boxes out of storage today. Look at all this. Your mother's old things, ukulele, Communist Party literature. Oh, and here we go. I think you know what these are.
Your photo albums. I've seen those. A lot.
Come on. It's going to happen. Don't fight it.
So he starts showing his the gruesome war injuries. I think he says one for family stuff and one for bloody carnage.
Yep.
It's pretty amazing. Let's see. Arthur shows... Douglas a picture of a baby's tush, and it ends up being Arthur. He's like, oh, that's so cute. I can bite it.
I can bite it. That's me.
Let's see. So we're going to get our first photo. I don't think we get to see her, but we get our first photo of Sophia, who is Carrie's mother. There's a little bit of inconsistency with his marriage and the people. Mm-hmm. Because if you remember in the first episode, it was Tilly died, right? And yeah. Now it's Sophia. And I believe that Mrs. Brady, who plays his wife in the flashback of that Thanksgiving episode, was another woman. Like, her character's name was something else.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I didn't even realize it was three different names. Sure.
Derek, that's what this podcast is going to be all about.
Perfect.
Is finding, like, I don't care about boom mics. I don't care if I see a boom mic or anything like that. Or I want to say, did you know that Sarah Spooner vanished? It's like, yeah, we know that. But it's fun to talk about the conspiracy about it.
Yep.
Like you, yeah, with, now I want to call him Larry, but Richie, with 9/11, that would have been a very dark way for the show to go. I mean, the show has dealt with some serious stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know. I don't know if they would have been able to pull that off. Actually, they might have been able to. It's hard to say. So here we go. We're going to talk a little bit about Sophia.
Look at that. Little Carrie.
Look at her there. Was she about 10?
Yeah.
Oh, look at her here. She's just a little baby in the bathtub. Look at that.
Sorry, this is like the tush thing.
Tush, yeah, just bite it. That's me.
He's just like, oh! By the way, we're watching, I think, a German rip of the King of Queens.
Got it.
Das Fett muss weg.
Organize these, would you?
Organize these, would you?
Hey, who's that?
Oh.
That's my first wife, Sophia. Carrie's mom.
It is?
Yeah. That's up in the Catskills about a year before she passed.
Wow, I didn't realize she was so
fat.
Oh, yeah, big girl. But I've seen other pictures of her, and she wasn't so
fat. Yeah, she was slim like Carrie when I first met her, but eventually she just got, you know,
fat.
Hey, you're talking about my wife!
That's classic. So this kind of plants the seed for Doug to be worried that Carrie's going to gain all this weight, which is kind of, it happens from time to time on the show. You know, it's, we go back to this.
Oh, see, yeah, there's definitely phases, but which is so ironic about this episode because he was so freaked out about her weight. I mean, I think season one Carrie is the best she had looked throughout the whole series.
Yeah. I just think Leah Remini is such a beautiful woman, but, when she had a kid, like most women, they'll gain a little bit of weight, you know, it's, mm-hmm. but if you do go on Facebook and everything, people are relentless. It's like, holy cow, man, like get a life. People are criticizing everyone. It's like,
and like she, no one like ages. You said, I mean, she's gorgeous. She still looked amazing when she was heavier.
Yeah, of course. And it is kind of funny when she's hiding her baby bump.
The baby bump.
Yeah, yep. I think that's kind of funny. So let's see. We're going to, you know, this is like stuff here and there. What do you think I should play next? I mean, this is an office story about the senior party, but it's really, this is all a physical, I mean, not physical, a visual thing where Doug is leading up to making sure that she doesn't gain weight.
Like, I mean, him lifting her up and weighing her was and, classic.
And eyeballing her and everything. Yeah. And Leah Remini's got to weigh like what, 105 pounds here. Like she's very
at most
small.
Yep.
So he's just, he's just kind of beating around the bush. It's like in his mind now. So let's see. So this is where he goes to pick her up.
And I thought I'd pick you up, carry you over to the bed. It's romantic.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of he's like lifting her and moving her around like, like he's weighing a goat.
Hey, you!
romantic, huh?
Not yet.
All right.
Well, there you go.
Oh, hey, that was great. I'm going to go watch the news, okay?
This is hilarious. I always see this car. This is like the total detective car of the 80s.
And, yeah, I mean, everybody said that was O'Boyle's car.
Oh, really?
But he wasn't in these seasons.
Oh, that's true. Well, wasn't there another O'Boyle? There were two O'Boyles?
Were they both O'Boyles or were they two different names? You would know more than I would.
Supervisor something. I don't know. Maybe we're about to find out. So we're in the IPS department. Deacon kind of comes in. Deacon's a great character.
Oh, absolutely. For sure.
Yeah. See what they did to the snack machine? You know, G11, the big cookie? Now it's raisins, the yellow ones. What the hell is that about?
Hey, Deke, let me ask you. Do you think Carrie's gained weight?
What?
Carrie, my wife. Do you think she's gained a little weight? A couple pounds, maybe?
Well, I don't know. Every time I see her, she's blocked by you.
I know I'm fat, all right? That's a given.
Oh, good, because I didn't want to have to break that to you.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not gaining, okay? I've plateaued. Everything now is just maintenance.
Look, even if she has gained some weight, there's nothing you can do about it.
Sure there is. I can talk to her about it. Actually, I'm gonna.
Let me ask you a question. Would you say basically your life is good right now?
Yeah.
And good wife, good job, the whole thing?
Yeah.
Don't pick at it.
So Deacon gives some very wise advice.
I think any guy would agree, that was the best advice that your best friend could have given you right there.
Right. It's like, just let it go. And I think he repeats over again, let it go.
Yep.
So let's see. We're having, we're at their kitchen and we're about to take it a little too far with Doug. Whoops. You think he takes her coffee cake?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. which is just something Doug would normally do anyway. Yeah. I think every kitchen in the 80s had this little wooden holder for mugs that said mugs.
Oh, I never noticed that.
No.
What happened to my coffee cake?
What? Her accent is so...
I was about to say coffee. Well, luckily, Spence helped her out with that later on down the road.
Coffee.
We never really realized it until that future episode, how bad it was.
Is this some... What's the matter with the way I talk?
Talk.
And being on Long Island, I've spent my whole life fighting the accent, so...
Okay, yeah. So you don't see it as much as I do. I mean, a mile away, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Brooklyn out there.
Well, you know what? I'm hyper aware of the accent. I've spent my whole life fighting it. I mean, of course, it creeps in every now and again, and I definitely have more of an accent than I probably think. But you, for the most part, I've lived on the West Coast, too, so I've adopted some of that.
That probably helped, yep.
Into some of my talking, my speaking.
You ate my cake?
Was that yours?
Well, I put it on my plate. I didn't think I had to label it.
Classic Entenmann's cake. Do you have Entenmann's cakes over there?
Never even heard of them, man.
What?
I have no idea what that is.
So, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, tell me now.
It's a total East Coast thing, I'm pretty sure of. So Entenmann's is essentially a line of cakes. I'm looking it up. I'm going to bring it to the screen. There's like, all right, we're bringing it to the screen.
So, like, is that the brand name?
Yeah, it's like,
okay.
I think the name of the family is Entenmann's.
And, okay.
I'm sure you have the equivalent of, but these are basically what he's having. This is a very New York thing to get.
Okay.
Like it's junk food, it's some of the worst food that you could ever eat. but it's just hilarious. Like Entenmann's coffee cake is pretty classic, I would say. It's exactly what they're eating. So
that's it. That's exactly it.
That's it. You know what? Maybe we should give away one of those on the show.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'd hop in on trying to get that. Yeah. I've never seen that. Never seen those boxes, that anything.
When I was a kid, like we would keep like an Entenmann's cake in the freezer in case like people came over and then you take it out and you serve it, you know, and, it's Entenmann's, you know, it's good stuff.
Good to know.
Yeah. But yeah, we're going to have to do a deep freeze and get and ship you one.
Oh yeah, definitely.
On dry ice. I'm like, let it defrost for 3 hours, Derek, and then cut into it.
Now we're talking about it. Yeah. Now I was watching that, and I want one now.
Whatever, I'll just have a donut or something.
I think they covered up the logo, actually. But it is,
I'm sure they
without a doubt, that's an Entenmann's. But you know what's weird? If you look on their refrigerator, I don't know about this particular episode, you'll find brands not covered up.
Really?
It's kind of interesting.
Hey, not covered up by the Buff Doug photo.
The Buff Doug photo.
Don't scream.
So, you know what? In the first episode, this picture was on the fridge because I just watched it. And I'm pretty sure this is Leah Remini with her real husband and Doug. Well, you know, Kevin James. Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure, though. I'm going to grab a screenshot of that. For future, you know, reference. That's what the show's all about.
Yeah.
What?
I was just thinking, you know what? You're right. I shouldn't have eaten that coffee cake, you know? I'm so fat, you know? I really need to lose some weight. Hey, I know. You know what? We should go on a diet together so I can take some of this off.
Wait.
It's so such wrong a bad
move,
way to
wrong
go.
Move.
Such a bad way to go.
Yeah. I feel bloated, you know, very disgusting right now. And I just really feel if.
And like you look at Leah Remini and she looks great, you know.
Looks perfect, yeah.
On a diet that really do the trick.
Uh huh. And is there a reason you keep saying we?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just like we. You're on a diet.
What do you think, I'm an idiot? If you want me to lose weight, why don't you just come out and say it?
Okay, look, I know it's ridiculous for me to be bringing this up. I mean, look at me. I look like I'm in my 12th trimester here. But honey, maybe it is possible that over the last couple of years you have gained a few tiny, tiny pounds. It is so not a big deal, Carrie. I mean, Deacon's wife, whew, he said she gained like 15 pounds. So by comparison, this is nothing.
You talked to Deacon about this?
It's like, ugh. No, rookie I would mistake. Never
do that, no. Honey, I shouldn't have ever brought this up. I'm sorry.
You're right. Maybe I have put on a few pounds, but I will take it off.
So this is very unhealthy. You know, this is a very terrible relationship advice to be giving. Like, this is not a good idea. To anybody who thinks this is a good idea, this is not the way to approach it.
Not at all.
And, of course, as with anything, it just will eventually backfire. I'm going to bring us to the diet dinner, which is basically like boiled chicken and.
Hey, what do you got there?
3 ounces of poached haddock.
Ooh, nice. Dining in style tonight, huh?
He's got a big bowl of spaghetti and
big old spaghetti.
Greetings, one and all. Sorry I'm late, but I was going through those boxes and found my old little black book.
Little black book.
Sit down, Dad. Dinner's ready.
Ooh, Lenore Bickle.
So he's basically just going to go through. He's just amazing.
Ah, dinner Italiano. Aren't you having anything, sweetheart?
No, I'm on a diet.
Ah, you kids with your dieting and your health. In my day,
We drop dead of a massive coronary in our mid-50s, and we like it.
One of the best lines of the episode.
It's amazing. So Carrie just kind of goes on about it and measures her salad dressing and really rubs it in. Then Doug is like, this is crazy. Here, take this. You know, in total Doug fashion. So, let's see. What, you were going to say something? Sorry.
Oh, no, I think she is reacting about the way 99% of women would. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think she's being overly angry. I mean, I think she's right where she should be.
Yeah, I mean, she's being very passive aggressive about it, which I think in this case, it's completely acceptable. Doug agrees to go on a diet himself, and he's like, you know, he's miserable because we know Doug hates diet.
Chili dog, no mess in the bed. Flannels? What happened to that little cute number you were wearing last night? What are those on your PJs?
Ducks.
Ducks. So, essentially, the store is closed. There's going to be no, the maid
again, said, how most women would react.
As the maid would say, there's no boom boom. So let's see. We have Doug. They're just kind of going through a bunch of little banter, basically back and forth.
Come on, Doug. I really want to know. How would you feel if I did end up looking like my mother?
I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, so Doug reveals basically that he saw the picture of the mother, and that's his fear.
Doug, I could see your reflection in the window.
So he's like wincing when that was all going on. So let's see, we're back in IPS, and Doug is eating an apple like he's never eaten before. He's really dogging it.
What did you do? What did you do?
What?
You told Carrie what I said about my wife being overweight?
What? I think you're wrong.
I'm not wrong. Talk. Damn it. What are you doing to me, huh?
I just thought it'd make Carrie feel better. I didn't think
That's right. You didn't think. I mean, 7 months of work. Undone. I came home last night and Kelly was weeping and giving me the finger at the same time. Never seen that before.
If it's any consolation to you, my life is hell too.
That does make me feel better.
Now I'm on a diet. Carrie won't sleep with me. No sex, no food. If the cable goes out, I'm gonna have to kill myself.
Didn't I warn you not to pick at your life?
It's a huge sandwich.
What's on that?
Delicious.
Yeah, that's really a pretty decent... That's like a Doug sandwich.
Listen, could you? No. We talk. We communicate. Look at you now.
See, that's another reason, like you said, why this show is so relatable. I mean, this is exactly how two guys in this situation would be acting. If I was Deacon, I would have came at him that same way. If,
yeah, like, you know, what the hell's wrong with
you? My friend's wife ratted my wife out.
Yeah, like, what the hell's wrong with you talking to anybody about this? And yeah.
Yeah.
Carrie reveals that she's off to the gym. She's depressed over the wedding pictures. And Arthur, the banter between them is pretty funny.
Thanks to the old vibrating belt to get you in a pink, huh?
Oh, wait. Sorry, I missed that one.
At the gym.
Nothing like jumping jacks in the old vibrating belt to get you in a pink, huh?
Right.
Look what I found in here. Some pictures from your wedding. What year was that?
95.
Oh, that was a simpler time, wasn't it?
What year did this show start?
So I did want to just mention, yeah, the pilot aired on, I believe, September 14th, 1998. Okay. I'm sorry, September 21st, 1998 was the pilot. This aired a week later on September 28th, 1998.
Oh, look at me in my wedding dress. I looked good, didn't I?
Breathtaking.
Well, Those days are gone.
So what Doug's words have really gotten to her, into her head, and it's kind of unfair.
What are you talking about?
Now I'm just getting older and gaining weight, and before I know it, I'm just going to be big and fat and not attractive anymore.
You're crazy. And even if you do gain a little weight, believe me, men like that.
No, they don't.
Oh, no? Look at this. Look at the women in here.
Picks up an issue of Va Va Voom.
Full figured and voluptuous.
Her face. It's like the most uncomfortable moment.
This is a men's magazine. This is what men like.
Va Voom, April 1951.
But his heart's in the right place. Maybe this might be one of the last times we ever see Sarah Spooner. Doug,
I meets her think she was in the first three or four, and then another random one. I know she was only, I think they, she was in five or six total, but that was it.
Yeah, and that was it. Gone, erased from existence. It's like she's basically a living Mandela effect.
Hey, so what was the big emergency?
Okay, here's the thing. What would make you feel better if someone told you you'd gained a couple pounds?
Oh my God.
She thinks it's him saying it to her.
You called me all the way down here just to tell me I look fat? What, in a crowded bar to keep me from making a scene?
It's amazing.
Now, watching the whole series, do you think they made the right move removing her? I read why they did is they really kind of expected her to be that secondary character like an Arthur, but they found nothing for her, no arc or anything. So do you think they could have done more with her, or do you think it was a better move just for them to just cut it loose right there?
Yeah. So I think that's a great question. And it's an interesting thing to go down that like rabbit hole of kind of like figuring out what they were thinking and what they could have done. And I've worked in television, not in writing, but in like production. And so I've been privy to like little meetings where it's like, all right, this has to, you know, be adjusted, or they have to focus on a certain character or something. And it kind of gets edited and, you know, little stuff, not like major character arcs, but, I think what would have really been a lot better is if she ended up being Doug's sister. And she visited every once in a while. Like, she kind of like the way Doug's sister was, you know, in later episodes. I can't remember her name. Carrie Lake.
And Ricky Lake.
Oh, Ricky. Carrie Lake. The politician, Carrie Lake. Ricky Lake? All right. And she was good. I think that she was very good. But I would have liked to see this character stay on a little bit. I don't know. Not as Carrie's sister, though.
I think she could have been more later on down the road what the Holly storylines turned into. You know, maybe off and on want to be relationship with Spencer. You know, I mean, little things like that. I always thought that a lot of the things that Holly did, which that she was great. But I mean, the sister right here, I mean, I think she could have pulled that off as well.
All right. So I start comparing characters, you know, so you look at, A Married with Children TV show, right. And you have like the Peg Bundy character, which we can say for all intents and purposes is like the Carrie, right? Like the loudmouth, obnoxious, you know, and then you have like the Christina Applegate character. So the daughter. So, I mean, maybe this girl could have also been recast as a different actress, but younger. I don't know. I just, as her sister at this age, because they're about the same age, I would say maybe at most 2 years apart.
Yeah.
It's just too similar. You can't have two attractive women in almost the same role.
That makes sense.
But if it was Doug's sister, they might have been able to. I don't know. I think they made the right choice in retrospect, because I didn't, by the time you get to like the 10th episode, you forgot she existed.
So yeah, you think it was the right move at the right time?
Yeah. I mean, they know what they're doing. I would have liked to see what they would have tried, but
sure.
You know,
you
relax? I'm talking about your sister.
Oh, thank God.
I made a stupid comment.
She goes back to eating, which is funny.
Comment about our weight. I think I might have upset her a little bit.
I'm eyeballing his watch so far. I've watched several of the episodes very closely. He's wearing a G-Shock. And at some point, I think that I'm wondering, does he wear the G-Shock throughout the entire series? I'm kind of anxious to learn.
Seriously, though, do I look chubby?
No! So she basically gives advice. It's kind of in line with everyone else. It's kind of like what you did is really stupid, you know? And like, no kidding.
Well, she's not wrong.
Yeah. So let's see. So we go to the next scene, which is Carrie basically binging on a Yule log. She's in her wedding dress. You know, like, things are really, you know, going down the tubes. I also like that Doug went and bought gas station flowers, because that's kind of like what people do, or did.
With the price tag still stuck on there.
Yep. Her hair is crazy.
Lordy, lordy, lord.
Lordy.
What are you doing?
I just ate an entire Yule log I was saving for Christmas. Now I'm even fatter. And we have no holiday dessert.
Oh, honey, you got out your wedding dress.
You were right. I couldn't even zip it up. Just a big fat fatty.
I just noted, well, I thought this was for a second. I never noticed this before, this light. I mean, is this a crash symbol? Like,
it's okay. Oh, back it does look like it, doesn't it?
And that, but at first I thought it was a sword or something.
With a handle down there,
But I think it's just a weird light. I think they replaced this at some point.
I don't think it lasted very long.
It is
that's something I would have noticed.
You know, it's what's crazy is that lamp is somewhere right now. You know?
Like, oh, sure.
It might be in, like, you know, the inventory of the set designers, but somewhere that lamp exists. This one's not so bad. The one in the back.
You just can't reach the zipper. Here,
this is kind of funny. He goes the zipper.
Me. Okay, inhale a little. Little more. There you go.
I'm dizzy.
I also think that Leah Remini is one of the few actresses, especially at the time, who could pull off this type of comedy. Because, again, she's a beautiful woman, and she's okay with laughing at herself. I mean, this is a character where they're busting on her for gaining a few pounds, and it's like, it's basically a lot of people's worst nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But she's doing it, and it's just, you know, I think the way that they do it, it's really good. So let's see.
Perfect.
Doug basically talks about how no matter what, he's going to love her.
You know, who cares? You still look great.
No, I don't. Doug, the day I wore this dress 3 years ago, that's the best I'm ever going to look. It's all downhill from here.
It's not downhill. Yes, it is. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
She's going nuts. This is crazy. This episode is 28 years old.
That's crazy.
Right? It's disgusting.
Look, this is my mother's dress. One day, I'm going to fill out this entire thing.
You know what? Give me the dress.
What?
Give me the dress.
What are you doing?
I'm going to put on your mother's dress.
Best line of the show coming up.
Yeah, seriously.
Why?
And his solution is really hilarious.
Because it'll be way too small for me, which means that even if you do get to be as big as her, I'll still be bigger, which means you'll always, always be my skinny wife.
It fits!
I think that, when she said it fits, I think that was the hardest I laughed at this whole episode.
It fits!
Actually, it needs to be taken in a little. Harry. I'm begging you to let go of this. I want you to stop feeling bad. I want us to laugh. I want us to have sex. The sweet love of God, I want a sandwich. Listen to me. I think you're beautiful. You'll always, always be beautiful.
Yeah, right.
Yes, right.
But what if I do get fat?
Just come in under a metric ton.
Now, all in all, I think that... So, I'm pretty sure that this was filmed after the show was sold, right? I don't think that they purchased, like, a block of pilots or, you know, like, a thing. I feel as though it's not the best episode. Like, I feel like they have funnier material later. Because we have Richie's song, I think it's called.
Yeah. And, you know, always those, I mean, every great TV show, I mean, this, I mean, you know, Friends is as big a show as that guy. I mean, those first four or five episodes, everybody's still kind of, you know, getting the chemistry together with everybody. And I think you can definitely tell that in these first few episodes.
And no Spence in this episode is kind of interesting. Yeah, I mean, I heard like the Friends were not even meant to return. Did you ever hear that?
No.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. Let's see. Arthur comes home and he kind of has advice for Doug.
Douglas, a little advice. Wear a slip with that.
Also, I was wondering, it sounds like it was filmed in front of a studio audience, but I don't think it could have been. I mean, they could have showed it to people in the theater, maybe, and asked people, you know, and had like professional laughers or something.
Does it sound different from the later episodes?
Yeah, it sounds more canned later, but listen to like right here. I'm going to play it again.
A little advice. Wear a slip with that.
It does.
If you have standouts, you know. So let's see, we get to the makeup sex. Now, when this show was in reruns, which is when I first started really watching it, they cut this stuff out. Like,
sure. I was going to mention that because I watch on Peacock pretty much how I watch. And even still to this day, as many times as I've seen every episode, there'll be a scene that I've never seen before.
It's crazy. And it's like a whole new episode to me.
Yep. And some of those are some of the funnier parts of the show. I'm like, I don't know why they got rid of that.
There are so many little things that are funny. It's like getting rid of the cold opening. It's really, I mean, I think it's a sin. It's terrible.
I agree.
What a night, huh? Some Chinese food, followed by some good deli, followed by some good loving with the most beautiful girl I know.
Oh, honey, that's sweet.
So the loving part was my performance to my lady's liking.
Yeah.
What was that pause?
That'd be every guy's reaction.
Yeah. And, you know, I just think that these two have so much chemistry. You know, it's really just, it speaks volumes. One of the shows that a lot of people compare this to, and for obvious reasons, is Everybody Loves Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Ray Romano. I think Ray Romano is extremely funny. I've seen his stand-up in person. He's really a good writer. A lot of people don't like him, and that's fine, too. But him and his wife hate each other. Deborah, I think it is.
Uh-huh.
When you and the show's well written, you know, like the Everybody Loves Raymond. But the problem that I have with it is that they just dislike each other so much. And I don't get that at all with the Doug and Carrie characters.
No. I mean, it kind of worked when you know, going back to when you were talking about Married with Children, because that was kind of the focal point of the show. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it was meant to be. I get absolutely what you're saying.
Like, Married with Children was a brand new era of television, and it was kind of built around the fact that it's going to be the anti-sitcom. Mm-hmm. I still think Married with Children is some of the most interesting and funny television ever.
100% agree.
Yeah, it's a really underrated show, and people should definitely revisit it or visit in the first place. But
definitely not a show you could make these days, though. But
no, you couldn't, and I don't even think a lot of the jokes in King of Queens would fly so easily these days. Sure. That's okay. I guess that's okay. I don't know. I don't watch TV, so I don't really. For all I know, there are TV shows like this out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't watched over-the-air TV in probably since the days of King of Queens being on.
Really?
Well, not being on, but like at least in reruns. It's probably still in reruns, right?
Yep.
But yeah, so I wanted to just kind of go down the list of things that were going on at the same time. So we're talking, you know, it's autumn of 1998, and top five TV shows at this period of time for this week were Touched by an Angel, which I never watched.
Never seen it.
Yeah. But it was also, let's see.
So that was number one in 1998?
No, that was number five.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but that was what was running at the same time King of Queens was on. It's kind of interesting.
Gotcha.
Let's see. Monday Night Football, Frasier, Friends, as you mentioned, and ER. I don't know if these were all on the same night. Is that right? I don't know. I have to fact check that. Top movies. We have Rush Hour and John Waters' indie comedy Pecker, which I don't even think made it to the top, really. What Dreams May Come, which is a Rob Williams movie I never heard of. A Denzel Washington movie.
That's one of his best movies. Check it out sometime.
What Dreams May Come?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What is it? I mean, it says it's a fantasy.
It's drama. That was one of the first movies that he really. I mean, he did some of the dramatic movies, obviously, you know, Good Morning Vietnam and all that. But sure. First time he had done just a truly sad movie. I think that movie with Robin Williams, with as much as he has done, showed more well-roundedness with him than I've ever seen before. So I would recommend it. It's long, but it's sad, but it's a great movie.
Yeah, I mean, I like Robin Williams' serious work. You know, like, well, even 8mm, which was in the early 2000s. I forget when that was.
You like his serious, and you've never seen it, huh?
You know what? I have to look it up. Maybe when I see the cover, I'll be like, oh, I know this movie. But this is, what else did he have? Dead Poets Society? He had, was he in that? I forget. I'm like totally like jumping around in my head with
Dead Poets Society. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Was he? Yeah. He was the teacher, right?
Yep. He was a teacher.
But yeah, it was a pretty serious, but he was in, what was the movie where he's a Russian musician in the 80s? And he defects while he's on tour in Manhattan.
Oh, is it Jacob the Liar?
No. The World According to... I don't remember. Oh, Moscow on the Hudson. That was it.
Oh, yep.
That was a really good movie. To those. Top five music albums. I don't know if, what kind of music you listen to, but I don't know if Spice Girls might be something.
I was a Spice Girls fan. You know, I was a younger guy at that time.
I did see this.
I had my favorite.
Now, this was the soundtrack to Spice World, which I did actually see in the theaters.
You know what? I think I did too, actually.
I was actually dating my girlfriend, who is now my wife. There we go. That's how it works. The Dixie Chicks, Wide Open Spaces, which is actually a really phenomenal album, which I'm not a country music fan, but it's a really well-produced album. Jay-Z, we have Lauryn Hill, and number one, we have...
I'll Never Let Go.
Titanic soundtrack.
98, that makes complete sense.
Yeah, it would go on for like 16 weeks, number one.
Yeah, that was forever.
Oh my God, just... Fun movie, right?
Oh yeah, I saw it in the theaters too.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater. But yeah, so that's about it. You know, Derek, I want to thank you so much for spending the past hour with me to talk about the King of Queens.
Oh no, it was awesome, man. I appreciate the opportunity, man, and I love watching some of the old shows, like some of the old seasons. Like I said, the first season, that's probably the one I've seen the least. So going back and, seeing it from some different eyes is awesome.
Yeah. And then we can like point out the little things like the photographs on the refrigerator and whether or not he's wearing a G-Shock watch. Stuff I'm going to be looking for and pointing out. But I have another 205 episodes to go, and I'll see you at the end when they adopt the Asian girl, you know.
No, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, I mean, call me anytime for these, and I'll be here.
I really appreciate it, man. But if people should head on over to kingofqueenspodcast.com. I don't know. Do you have anything you'd like to plug? Any type of creative services or a website? I'm not sure what you do.
I don't, man. I'm here for you. So I hope this blows up and get some good viewers. And good luck with everything.
I really appreciate it, man. I hope that you return very soon.